Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you right now, if you didn't like that, you can get your monies back. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. Open your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 14. If you've been watching the wind tonight, I went back through my notes because I'm pretty sure Brad shared something about that. I don't take really detailed notes sometimes, but what he and Tim been sharing has blessed me. And I've kind of kept up with some of it and been blessed and wrote some up in my Bible. But I think maybe he made reference to some of this one night. But I want to just share with you this morning something that the Lord spoke to me about during the week. And trust me, a blessing. God good? Thank God we serve an amazing God. He's still amazing all the time. I want to give you a little background because I was going to read a good bit of this chapter, but I think I won't do that now. But of course, Moses has been called of God through the burning bush to go back into Egypt to lead the children out of captivity. They've been there a long time, 400 years. And God sent him back to deliver them out. And of course, he made all kind of objections himself. You know, I'm not an eloquent man and so on. They're not going to believe me and so on. But God got all that resolved for him. And so then he goes back and you know the story. They go through the 10 challenges and every god of the Egyptians was defeated through the different plagues that God sent. The last one was the death of the firstborn. And at that point in time, Pharaoh relents and he said, you get out of here and I don't want to ever see your face again. And Moses tells him, he said, you're right. You won't ever see my face again. But they get out and God doesn't send them one direction because of the enemy there and they probably get discouraged. So he sent them on a different path. And they come down now to the Red Sea. In the meantime, Pharaoh and those gathered around said, what in the world have we done? For all these years, we've had the Israelites here, and they've been serving us, and now we've turned them loose. And so he said, we're going to go. Well, if you read it, you'll understand God orchestrated every bit of that. God said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. I'm going to bring him out that I might show him that I'm God and show the whole nation of Egypt that I'm God. And so we come down there, they're at the Red Sea, and here is the host of Egyptians coming after them. They've got 600 chariots and all their soldiers. It's just a massive army coming after this group of unarmed Israelites. And they just, you know, they get so discouraged and they're so, and just the anxiety of that moment, they just know they're going to die. And they said to Moses, weren't any graves in Egypt that we could have died there and you brought us out here in the wilderness to die? And didn't we tell you to leave us alone? We'd rather serve and live than get out here and die. Well, notice Moses' response. That's where I'm at. In verse 12, I want to read you what they said. Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now, they are people of real faith and real hope. Not really. But they were going to die right here. We're going to die right here between the Red Sea and the armies of Egypt. Here's a statement I want you to get hold of. I'm going to read just two verses now. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I love that statement there in verse 13. He said, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing me to be in the house of God today. Thank you for our dear friends who gathered here in the building and God, for all those who are in the internet audience. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, would move today. Thank you for touching Brad and Brian and the congregational singing this morning. Lord, my heart's been blessed already. Lord, I've been caught up and Lord, just to worship you and magnify you. And God, all the songs, the Holy Ghost of God orchestrated those so wonderfully because sometimes we're going through the fire and it's hard to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And Lord, sometimes we wonder, but you're still an amazing God. And Lord, when it looks like there's no way, God, you always make a way. And God, you always deliver. And I thank you for that. Now, Lord, help us us now, right now, God, speak to our heart through this passage of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Years ago, when the kids were watching cartoons, and somebody was talking about that the other day, and that these moms who've got kids at home, boy, they know all there is to know about tots and all these other cartoons now, because they're watching them all the time. But there was one on that used to be called they called them the Doozers, but it is Doers is what it was, and they were the Doozers, and they were always doing something. And I don't remember the whole thing about it, but I just kind of got fascinated with that title. These were people, they were always doing something, little cartoon characters, and they were doers. They were doozers. They were doing something all the time. And if something needed to be done, you called the Doozers, and they'd come. Did anybody ever see that besides me? It must have been a long time ago. But anyhow, it was a cartoon, trust me, and the fact it didn't make it, that means it just didn't make it, I guess. But anyhow, I'm a doozer. I'm a doer. I can't be still for nothing. It didn't just start. When I was a little boy, my mom and daddy, they couldn't get me to come to eat to start with. But when I got eating, I can remember it like it was yesterday. And why I done it, I have no idea. We'd sit there to eat, and I'd eat a bite. I'd get up, walk around my chair, and sit back down. I'd eat a bite, and I'd go, and they fuss at me all the time. Now, my wife fusses at me now about the TV, and I don't ever sit still when something's on. Something will be on there, and it's like a rerun. And I said, well, I don't ever see that. She said, I reckon not. You don't ever sit still long enough to watch a program. And you just see in and out. But, you know, I'm a doer. And it, for God to tell me to do something and go somewhere, I'm for it. I'm right now, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to do. But where I have problems is with this verse. And listen to what it said, again in verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Now turn in your Bibles over to the book of 2 Chronicles. Here's a whole different scenario. But in 2 Chronicles, I want you to look at chapter number 20 and in verse number 17 and listen to what it said. An invading army has come against Israel, and they're just outmanned and outmatched, and there's no way they can ever win, and such a great multitude's come against them. But notice what he says, the Lord says to them in verse 17, and ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. He said, listen, same thing that Moses told them, you just stand still and watch what I can do. You watch what I, just stand still and see what I can do. And sometimes this nation is a nation of doers, and Christians are nations of a body of doers. We're always doing something. I've spent 53 years pastoring trying to get Baptists to do something. But here in this passage of Scripture is something so very important that you and I need to learn. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Here they are, there's this huge army from Egypt that's about to destroy them. Here's an impassable Red Sea. They're in a bad situation. And Moses said, you just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let me make a couple comments. You and I ought to do that. Yeah. There's times you and I just have to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This standing, the stance of this standing, is not idleness. I was reading one time, said about the potter and the clay, and he told the great preacher, he said, you go down to the potter's house and you watch him. That potter never said one word, but God taught him a wonderful lesson. And in my study going back and forth, I read a statement by some other author that said this, you never waste time when you keep God's appointment. I feel like I got so many things to do, I got to do it right now. Yesterday, matter of fact. But sometimes God wants us to stand still, and he tells us to stand still and watch him do something. And it's not idleness. Standing still is not idleness. Doesn't mean you don't have anything else to do, but he wants us to stand still sometime. It is not rebellion and disobedience. Sometimes God says go and we won't go. Sometimes he says we ought to give, we don't give. But this is not, this scenario is not disobedience. When he says, stand still, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The king's business requireth haste. All those things. But there's sometimes in your life, in your family life, in your work life, in your spiritual life, that God will have you just to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What a blessing that is. It is not rebellion. I remember years ago, somebody either told it, I read it, about a little girl. She was especially bad that day. She was giving her mama one more fit. And finally, mama had enough. She took her and she set her down on a chair. She said, now you sit right there in that chair and don't you move until I tell you to move. And the little girl just stared at her with a defiant look. When mom turned around, she said, Mommy, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know what? Sometimes God says, stand still. It's not rebellion. It's not disobedience. It is obeying God. And then it is not the fear that caused you to stand still. You've heard the old saying that they froze in their tracks. Regina showed me something on Facebook the other day. It's people walking along and a black bear comes out. And that girl stands there and that bear is sniffing all in her hair and all over. And I promise you, her pulse rate was about 220. But she was standing in fearfulness. But this is not a fearful standing. It's not because of things going on around you or anything. It simply said, God said, you stand. And so, it's not fearfulness. In this passage of Scripture, they're not to stand because of confusion. He didn't say stand because we don't have no idea what needs to be done. He didn't say stand because we're confused and we don't know which way we need to go. Standing is not a stance of confusion, wondering what we're going to do, wondering what's going to happen. It's not that at all. You know, we don't know what we're doing, but He always knows what He's doing. And so we stand, if we stand properly, we stand not in a confused state, but in another state. I'll deal with that in a moment. But the standing still and erect and being still, we don't do that to prove our power. There's sometimes the enemy comes against us and we use this statement, stand. There's times that in real life when there are people who you're confronted and people just stand because they want to demonstrate their power. But this standing is not to demonstrate your power. It is to demonstrate His power. And though you were to stand, my dear friend, in this situation, this standing that He's talking about is not a standing of resignation, which means that we've done all we can do and now we can't do anything but be still and stand and wait on God. You see, quite often I get things backwards. When I dealt with prayer some time ago, I said some people talk about prayer being our last resort. They talk about a scenario and then they say, there's nothing that we can do now but pray. But we got the order reversed. Prayer shouldn't be our last resort. It should be our first resource. Should have prayed first. And God would have us to stand. And it's not resignation, is that I've done all I can do, and anybody else has done all they can do, and I don't know what we're going to do, so we're just going to stand. That's not it at all. It's not just saying that we don't know what to do, and so we're going to stand. You know what? It's not the last thing we ought to do, but it's the first thing we ought to do, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I get hung up on numbers and facts and things. I'll deal with that, some of that in a moment. But I will say this to you. Notice this little phrase in here, and there's more to it than what I've highlighted, but I want to read this to you. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, if I counted correctly, that is 12 words. Stand still. He said, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. 12 in the Bible speaks of the nation of Israel. And here's the secret to their victory. The enemy over and over again in the Old Testament said, of Israel. They weren't afraid of Israel, but they were afraid of their God. And there are times when their enemy testified that God has fought with them. Remember the story about where they said their God is a God of the mountains. Now we get them to fight in the valley, then we can defeat them because their God don't work in the valley. Literally, they understand that He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. He's in every valley you ever go through. But see, their fear wasn't for the people, but their fear was of their God. And so here it is. It's not supposed to be our last resort. It is supposed to be our first action. That is to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Whenever God's working in your life about something, you need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let me give you a few things about this stance of standing. Fear not, stand still. Number one, this is a stance of confidence. They're not standing here perplexed. He said, I want you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It is a confident standing. And when you get to a place where you're in a situation, you have to stand and wait on God. It's not that you don't know what to do or you can't do anything else, but it is confidence that God is. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's confident standing. I'm just obeying God, but I'm standing confidently. I'm not questioning. I know God's got a plan. I know God's going to do something. I read back through this thing and I got to thinking. My wife one time, since I've been here, she said, why in the world didn't God lead us here first before we went around some other places? It wasn't in God's time. And God had a time and a thing. I got to reading about this. Moses went back to lead them out of bondage. But yet they went through the whole sequence of events of the challenging of all their gods, all their plagues and everything else. And God was orchestrating the whole thing. Do you not think that God could have just sent Moses in and said, just get them out. And as you're going out of town, I will smite every one of them with blindness, or they'll fall like dead men in your way. As you go through, they're just going to fall out and you go on about your business. Could he have done that? He sure could. But some reason or another, God chose for it to take a time for that to happen. And God had a plan. And then when they came down to the Red Sea, here's the Egyptian army right at them, right ready to destroy them. Here's the Red Sea, impassable for them. Don't you think that during the night, that as they were traveling to get to the Red Sea, don't you think that the sign would be up, we're already open, come on through? Could have God done that? Sure he could. God could have had the Red Sea already open when they got there. But it wasn't in his plan to do that. God had a plan. And he said, you stand here, but you stand here confidently that you know beyond any shadow of doubt that we're going to be okay. God's going to take care of us. He's going to carry us through. God orchestrated the whole thing. Could have done it just like that, but it was a time thing. But when you're standing, you're waiting on God. You to stand confidently, knowing that God can. But also, this stance is not one of confidence, but it's one of commitment. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Here's the commitment. You're committing everything you are, everything you have, everything, all the details to Him. It's commitment. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand here and wait. I remember somebody telling a story one time about a man who went into town many years ago and he had his little son with him. And he said, son, you stand right here on this porch here near the bank of wherever he's going in. And he said, you wait right here. Don't go anywhere. You wait right here. You stand right here until I get back. And I promise you, I'm coming back. And so the little fellow stood there. Well, just a little bit, the wind began to blow and trash and debris began to blow up the street. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, it was the worst thunderstorm you've ever seen. It poured down rain and everything else. And a little bit, the dead come rushing out the door and the little fella's standing there in the rain. And he said, Daddy, you didn't tell me it wasn't going to rain. You just told me to stand. And sometime God will tell you to stand when the fire's falling. Stand when the storm's coming. But you stand confidently. But you stand committed. How long are you going to stand? How long are you going to wait? I'm going to wait till God says it's time. I'm going to wait till God says it's time. It's not a matter of minutes. He could do it in minutes. But somebody said, have you got a minute? Well, God don't always work in minute times. God works in different times. But when you stand for the Lord and you stand still to see salvation, Lord, you made a commitment. Lord, I know you are. I'm confident that you will. and here's my commitment. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait patiently. I'm going to make commitment. But then notice something else. Not only is it a stance of confidence and commitment, but it is also a stance of courage. Take some courage to do that. Over in Psalms 27, let me share this with you. Psalms 27 and verse number 14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is a stance of courage. He started off this thing by saying, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. This stance is one of confidence. It's one of commitment, but it's also one of courage. Sometimes it takes courage not to do something. Sometimes you have to wait on God, and you stand confidently, and you stand committed, but you also have to stand with courage. Why? Because everything and everybody else will be working against you. You have to be careful. The enemy's going to come against you, and he's going to say, you're stupid. I'll say, I already knew that. I took that away from him. But he said, you're waiting on God. And God doesn't love you. If God did, He'd do it just like that. No, he said, stand. And I stand confidently, and I stand with commitment, but also stand with courage. That when the enemy comes against me, I'm going to still be faithful. I'm going to still do what God wants me to do. I'm going to be faithful. But notice a little bit further in this stance. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And not only is it a stance of confidence and courage, but it is a stance of contentment. Motor's not running, not anxious, not worried. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, I'm coming again. He said, but during that time, don't you live anxiously. Don't you, when you're standing, waiting on me, when you're standing and being still, you need to do it with contentment. This is what God's got for me right now. I'm going to be happy in it. This is the day the Lord's made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. He said, having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. It is one of contentment. If this is what God's got for me, I feel like sometime I have to do something to validate whether or not God's working in my life. I have to do something so other people think, well, he's doing something for God. And sometime when you're standing still, there's all kind of criticism, there's all kind of things thrown at you. But my dear friend, you got to stand with commitment. You got to stand with courage. You got to stand with contentment. I'm satisfied. If this is what God wants me to do, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to be blessed. It's going to be, I'm hard-headed. Because, you know, in 2012, I was stricken with Staph aureus, and I was shut down. They didn't think I'd ever come out of the hospital. If I came out of the hospital, they didn't think I'd ever walk, anything. And for somebody like that, and I remember the day that Dr. Ingram, the head of infectious disease, that way came and sat on the side of my bed. And he said, Mr. Cashwell, he said, I finally got you past the life-threatening stage. And he was saying, we didn't think you was going to live. And I thank him for all he did, but he's not the one who got me past the life-threatening stage. But here's what he said to me. He didn't know me other than he came to see me when I was in the emergency room, and then he was my attending physician for infectious disease along with his associates. But he said, I know what you are. He said, you're one of those type A people. You feel like you've got to go and do, and you're always doing something. He said, you won't ever be able to do that again. You won't be able to do that. You got to learn to pace yourself. You got to learn to do this, that, and the other. Now, here's what it is. I had to resign myself to it. Everybody said he won't ever live 30 days if he's got to go home and not do nothing for 30 days. But God helped me. But in those days, God spoke to my heart. And some things I shared with you and some things I hadn't shared with you. And then the Israel deal happened. Now I'm fixed to go through it all over again. But you stand still with contentment. If this is what God's lot is for my life, I think about this morning when Brother Mitchell was sharing with me about Brother Roy Lytle, he and Margaret. They've served so many years down in Suriname, and God used them so many ways and so many people. But to be in a situation back in the States when you're sick and you can't really do anything, God says sometimes you need to be still and know that I'm God and see the salvation of the Lord. But you must stand with contentment, not anxious, not worried. I'm going to just trust God. You say, Brother Bill, I can't do that. Neither can I. But God can help us. But then I stand this stance of being still and seeing the salvation of the Lord, not only a stance of confidence and commitment and courage and contentment, but it must be one of compliance. We'll stand still and see what the Lord will do. It's His plan. I'm going to be content with it, but I'm going to comply to it. Whatever God wants, that's what I want to do. Paul made a strong statement. He said, whether in life or in death, he's committed to honor God. Whatever it takes, and Lord, I'm going to surrender to your will. I remember reading the Word of God where the creator of this universe, Christ, without him was not anything made that was made. He knelt in a garden and great sweat drops of blood fell from his brow. He could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver him. He could have annihilated everybody all around him. You know what he did? He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And so when you stand still to see the salvation of the Lord, you must stand in compliance to whatever His will is. And God, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I went through and looked at these two little verses here because the stand still caught my attention, of course. But I got looking at all the S's in there. There are several S's in this passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, altogether there's 13 if you count repeats. But actual words that are used, two of them are used twice, there's nine. Nine were S's in this 13 and 14. Nine S's. You may not know that nine is the number of the fruit of the Holy Ghost Spirit. He said, you really want to see the fruit of the Holy Ghost? You got to learn to stand, be still, and see the salvation of the Lord. I thought it was interesting, the arrangement of these words. It starts off with this statement, said, the Word of God. God spoke through Moses, the Word of God. And we base all of our life and everything on the Word of God. Said is the first word. The second word is this, stand. You're to stand on the Word of God. Stand on God's promises, all those things. And be still. Be still. That's not idleness. It is a restful trust. I'm content. I'm not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I'm not like the billows of the sea, where it says the wicked men, they're like the billows of the sea. They never find rest. I've come to that place where I trust Him. And what He said, I'll stand on that. And I'll be still. And then the word see is used twice in here. See the salvation of the Lord. And then when you go up, you shall see them not again, no more. You see them. That's used twice. Then the next word, salvation. When God reveals His glory, God reveals His truth, you'll see a salvation. You'll understand what His plan is. And then He said this, which the Lord shall show. That means that God will reveal. I'm confident that God will show us. And then He talks, used the word seen. That refers to you, it's the only past tense word in it, but it's referring to your enemies. He said, they're going to be a has-been. The devil and all of that, you can just believe this. God is in control and God's going to take care of it. And you see again is used, but I'll go back to that. But then the last S in this series is the word shall. He said, you shall not see your enemies again, but the Lord shall fight for you. What a confidence that God will do that. In back to the word see, S-E-E, it's used twice. Once you see the salvation of the Lord, once you see God's deliverance or His judgment on your enemies. And then you see the next one in this place is shall. And He said, shall, you shall not see your enemies anymore, and the Lord shall fight with you. And two in the Bible is the number testimony. And He said, here it is, I'm going to be a testimony, and what's going to happen in your life is going to be a testimony to you. It'll give me glory. it'll be a testimony to the world. You'll see it. They'll see it, and they'll give God the glory. They'll glorify God. You can get glory out of this. Lord, we know that you will. And thank the Lord for that. What happens when you're standing still is that you're really doing something for God. It's a testimony. It's a testimony of what God's doing in your life. It's a testimony to those around you. And you realize that God is, and he's able to do exceedingly abundant above all I'm able to think. Stand. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm telling you, in your business life, there are times you'd better learn to stand still. I know, you know, the model is you'd act out and do this, that, but you better wait. You better wait. I'm thinking about the children of Israel, or the disciples rather in Jerusalem. And they waited before the Lord, and God said this. He said, through the minister of the Holy Spirit of God, they began to sell off everything they had and distribute it to the poor. And not many years later, the Romans came and confiscated everything and tore down everything, and they lost everything they had if they hadn't waited on God and let God show them what to do. And when he did, they were obedient to him. God has a plan for all of us in business, in your life, in your marriage, and in your Christian experience. And here's a little element of our Christian life that I think we're so neglectful in. And I have some friends who tell me I'm the worst in the world to be preaching this message. But it says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you'll stand still, you'll see it. When you stand still, you'll see the work of the Holy Ghost, the nine S's that are in here. Two of them are repeated, but that means for testimony. It'll be a testimony to you if you'll obey God. Obey the Lord. I want us to bow together for prayer right now. And God's got a plan. And here's what I want us to do. Brad, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to sing that song you sang a while ago and thank God for it. If you can, come back and sing that. Stand. Sometimes we have to just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Had I rather be doing some things next week other than what I'm going to be doing? Absolutely. But I've got to believe that God has orchestrated all this somehow or another. And so I'm going to try to comply. I want to be a blessing. I've already prayed earlier this morning. God, I want you to make me a witness when I'm in the hospital. God, help me to talk to somebody about Jesus. Help me to be a witness for Christ. And these days will be a time of testimony. And he says to Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. 12 words, speaks to Israel. And he said, I'm going to show Pharaoh that I am the Lord. You'll know that I'm the Lord. And you'll be a testimony to all the other heathen nations simply by standing still and seeing the salvation of the Lord. Is it hard? It's nearly about impossible for me. But God's a God of grace and he'll help us. You need to wait on him. You need to learn to help him. Not let him help you, rather. Let him take over your life. Stand. I want us to bow before the Lord. Now, let me just say this to you. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you need to be saved. You can call on him right now today in this place or in your place where you are watching on the internet. Will you call on him right now? Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. And I promise you, he shall do it. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you'll just get still before him and say, God, I can't do this, but I know you can. Save me right now. I promise he'll do that. And for those of us who are Christians in this building, God has sent us a word. We're going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, rather than announce this as I close, I want to announce it just before I pray. I want you to pray. We are praying about bringing Brother Brad on in full-time capacity to work with us here. And I met with the deacons on Sunday. We had a vote scheduled, and I felt led the Lord to postpone that. I met with the deacons on Sunday, and we prayed and talked. And we've all agreed together about what the Lord said. Matter of fact, that passage in Psalms 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, Wait on the Lord. He'll renew your strength. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He'll strengthen you. God's got a plan. And so right now we're just praying. Brad is in a unique situation. He's waiting on God too. And I want you to pray for him. I know he's God's man. He's been a blessing to me and to this church for 15 years. And that what I said to the deacons had nothing to do with anything I've heard, pro or con. It's just something God spoke to my heart about. And then when I began to study this passage of Scripture this week, oh, what an assurance he gave to me that all this is a testimony. It's going to be a testimony. And it's kind of like going through the fire. Those Hebrew children throwed in that fire furnace. And the king came and looked and he said, did we not throw three in? He said, but I see a fourth like unto the Son of Man. God displayed his Son in the fire that his disciples, his children were going through. And God has shown himself to be God. You pray for Brother Brad, pray for April, pray for the family, pray for us as a church family. And right now, I'm asking you to seek God in your own heart and life and learn this lesson. Learn to stand and be still and see the salvation of the Lord. I've never regretted waiting on God. I have more than once regretted doing something without knowing His perfect will. God, have mercy on us when we do that. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. God, how blessed I have been in the singing and everything at the beginning of the service. And God, what a wonderful church family we have. God, I know their love for me. I know their prayers for me and Regina and for our family. And God, I'm praying that you'll just put a hedge around every one of them. I pray, God, you'd bless the leadership. I pray for Brother Tim, Brad, Justin. Pray, God, for all of our deacons. And I pray, God, that you'd bless them. And I pray, God, that you'd be with Brother Tom next week as he comes to preach, Brother Tom, as he shares the Word of God. I pray, God, for Brother Frank Thacker that'll be here the next Sunday and for the other men who will preach. And God, I pray your anointing on them. God, bless your people. And God, I commit my life to you. Whatever your plan is, I want to be confident. I want to be committed. I want to be just yielded to you. I want to comply to your will by standing and being still. And God, you got all this in your hand. You're going to get glory. Bless our brothers. He sings once again. Be with our church family now. And God, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.